What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're looking at 1 Samuel 10, 11, and 12. And when we do that, we're going to see the transition of power where Samuel was the most powerful, most respected person in the land at the time. After this section of chapters is over, it's now going to be Saul. And that's a good and a bad thing, and we're going to see a little bit more about that as the story unfolds. But chapter 10 is where Samuel anoints Saul, which is that symbolic representation that, okay, this guy is now the king. And the way that they would do that, they would anoint them with oil. And that word anointed is a word that we know a lot in the New Testament. It's the word Messiah. So just know that when the phrase anointed one is used in this context, it's not talking about the Messiah of Messiahs, like Jesus, the Messiah. It's talking about the Messiahs with a little m, so to speak. God's chosen people. And that's what the anointing represented, that God chose you to do this important task. And that's what happens with Saul. So he is chosen. And in chapter 11, he has his first battle. And what happens is the men of Jabesh Gilead, which you might say, do I remember that? Yeah, I kind of remember that. I've heard of that before. The men of Jabesh Gilead are actually related to Saul because Saul is a Benjaminite. And if you remember, the tribe of Benjamin was that really bad tribe at the end of the book of Judges that caused a civil war. And remember, the wives that they had to find were from two cities, from Shiloh and from Jabesh Gilead. So what we think here is that Saul is actually related to these people in Jabesh Gilead, which might be why Saul takes such a violent response to the fact that they're being attacked. So they're being attacked by the Ammonites. Remember, other side of the Jordan, the Ammonites. They're being attacked. And Saul gets all these people from Israel, let's go fight against the Ammonites and save Jabesh Gilead. And that's exactly what they do. And when that happens, it says at the end of the chapter, Saul is like the guy. He is so popular, so much so that it says at the end of the chapter, the Israelites got around and said, is there anyone who says that Saul isn't our king? If anyone in this land says that Saul isn't our king, we should put them to death. And Saul has to say, whoa, 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 guys, stop. Like, Thanks for that, but we're not putting anybody to death right now. We just won a great victory against the Ammonites. So that's what happens in chapter 11. Chapter 12, Samuel says, all right, guys, this is it. I'm stepping back, right? Saul is now your leader. Just know I want you to obey the Lord. There's an important section of verses at the end of this chapter. Verses 21 to 24, 25, talks about how if you turn aside from God, two things that don't profit. To things that are empty, things that don't deliver. Know that the Lord will forsake you. Lord will leave you, just like he did in the book of Judges time and time again. If you're going to forsake God and follow idols, just know that God is going to respond by saying, okay, you want those idols? Okay, you can have those. You're going to lose my special blessing. And it says that at the end here, in verse 23, Samuel says, by the way, I'm not going to stop praying for you, though. I might not be in the public spotlight as the most important leader. Saul is going to take that position now as the king, but I'm going to continue to pray for you. And then he says in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. That right there is a command that should be transcendent. What that means is that command just goes beyond this one time that Samuel said it. That's a command for the reader to pick up this book of 1 Samuel and say, wow, I need to fear the Lord. I need to serve him with all of my heart. And it says, for consider what great things he has done. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. And that's an important reminder to us that Samuel tells these Israelites, if you don't serve God, just know God is going to be faithful, not only to give blessing to those who follow him, but also to give curses to those who disobey. So don't think that you can live this life and disregard God and think that that's going to be okay for you. Don't think that everything's going to go well for you when you disobey God. You need to know that God keeps track and God is a just God. So that's his message to the Israelites. It's a helpful message for us to think through as well. So let's turn to the New Testament, Luke chapter 13. We opened up this chapter yesterday talking about how Jesus commands these people to repent. And he says that is the main important lesson from this chapter is repentance. Now you're going to see a similar theme brought up here at the end of this chapter where you see he talks about the narrow door. And this is not the same thing as the narrow road and the narrow way and the narrow entrance to the kingdom that he talks about in Matthew 7. This is a little bit different because I think what he's trying to get them to do is enter, strive through the narrow door. There's a similar principle that's taught, which is basically that few people will be saved. And that's how this section starts. People ask Jesus, how many people are going to be saved? And Jesus says, it's not as many as you might think. It's going to be few. So he says to them, you need to strive to enter by the narrow door. You need to enter into this kingdom. You need to enter the people of God. And I think that's what he's getting at more. This is not a door that's at the end of life that he's talking about. I think he's talking about the door that stands to you right now. Are you going to repent of your sins and follow Christ? He says, that's the narrow door, so enter through that. And that's a helpful reminder for us. And not just a helpful reminder for us, but a warning to us if we're not going to follow God, if we're going to deny that and say, okay, we're not going to be all about that, like many people today do, that should be a warning to us. We cannot reject the door. And the only door to enter the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. And what he says here is you need to enter and strive to enter. He says there's going to be people from all over, from north and south. God's going to gather all these people, but there might be people that you would expect to be in heaven that aren't in heaven. And maybe you expect yourself to be in heaven, and you might not end up there if you do not enter by the narrow door. It should be a warning to us. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of God. So it's a helpful reminder, but also a warning for us. So take that warning today, and let's remember we want to serve God. And thankfully, many of us have entered by the narrow door, and we're living on that narrow road that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. So let's keep living on that narrow road, and let's keep serving God today. So that's all from today's Daily Bible Reading. We'll see you back tomorrow for another Daily Bible Reading Snapshot.